Chapter 19, Customer Centricity. In this chapter, we'll discuss how to help develop the critical trait of customer centricity. If you ask a CEO or a product person if they care about their customers, you'll usually get some sort of indignant, "Of course I do," response, sometimes followed with a defensive, "Are you suggesting I don't?" Pretty much everyone talks about how much they care about their customers. But when you actually get inside the company and you see how they handle a situation such as an outage, or when a product change causes customer confusion or frustration, or the infrequency that they actually sit down with real users and customers, it's easy to see the difference between those who claim they care about their customers and those who demonstrate their care every day. This trait is very much related to company culture and is, of course, heavily influenced by the words and actions of the company's leaders. I'll say up front that if your leaders don't demonstrate this sincere care for your customers, then it will be very hard to develop this in your product people or anyone else. In each and every case I know of where the company truly cares about their customers, it's clear that it comes from the very top. But assuming this is something that is central to your company's core values and not just lip service, then we need to talk about how we develop this trait in your product people. Clearly, some people are more naturally empathetic than others. But in my experience, people often tend to assume the worst about people they don't know. The most common manifestation of this is the horde of product people who tend to think of their customers as not very bright. The first thing I like to emphasize is to be very specific and protective over the term customer. It is an all too common problem where a product person thinks she has many different customers. In addition to the actual paying customers, she views each stakeholder as a customer, and she views the customer service team as her customer, and she views the CEO as one of her customers too. I see this as just a remnant of the old role of technology to serve the business. But more important, and I personally feel very strongly about this, besides confusing the relationship with stakeholders, this seriously dilutes the role of the true customer. So, I talk with the product person about the various constituencies involved with her product. Besides the users of our customer-facing products as our true customers, there may be internal users of our customer-enabling products, and there may be developers using platform services. All of these may be necessary to provide value and are therefore important, but none have the weight or importance of the true customers. I see the same problem in consumer internet companies, where there is a tendency to view our advertising partners as customers. But again, they are not the customer, and it's important to realize that. We work with our advertising partners to develop products for our true customers. If the true customer does not like the product, they won't engage, so we fail, and our advertising partners fail as well. I prefer to keep the term customer almost sacred, and I believe this helps the product person understand the role the customer necessarily plays in our actions and decisions. I am a big fan of using storytelling to drive home what caring for customers really means in practice. A few of my favorites are the early FedEx wedding dress story, the REI hiking boot replacement story, described in the movie Wild, and many great stories from early Zappos, which you can read about in the book Delivering Happiness. I also recommend a minimum of 3 1-hour customer interactions each week ongoing. And during the weekly one-on-one, I love to ask about these customer interactions and see what the product person has learned. I also encourage the product person to share with me stories of what they experienced during these visits, and then to share these stories widely around the company. I explain that my purpose is to establish the reputation of this product person as someone who has a deep and personal knowledge of the company's users and customers. The true test of customer centricity is how the product person handles difficult or especially stressful decisions. When a customer is at a standstill, often referred to as a showstopper, because of some problem with our product, how does the product person respond? Is it business as usual? Or is the product person ensuring a sense of urgency, not panic, and leading by example to come up with an effective solution? One of the behaviors I love in companies that are truly customer-centric is that leaders will usually proactively reach out to the product team and offer to help in any way they can. This sends a very clear message to the team as to their importance without resorting to micromanaging them. Be aware, however, that in companies that are truly customer-centric, if the product team is not prioritizing solving the customer problem as highly as the executives do, then the executives may lose confidence in the product team, and they will often step in. They might be very supportive of the concept of empowered teams, but if you make them choose between empowered teams and taking care of customers, you probably won't like what they decide. Finally, while I need to make certain the product person genuinely likes and respects her customers, I don't want her to think her job is to ask her customers what to build. I am always careful to emphasize that the job is to innovate on behalf of our customers, and I explain the difference between how a strong product manager works and how, for example, focus groups work. In my experience, sincere and consistent customer centricity takes a while to develop in a new product person, on the order of a year or more. There will be mistakes in judgment along the way, but with active and constructive coaching, you can help the product person learn how to embody this trait and communicate its importance to the rest of her product team and beyond.